जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद So we're reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila, chapter 12, and we have one slight problem, that due to failing eyesight, I grabbed the wrong book from my shelf. It says chapter 7 to 11, and when I looked at it, I looked at 11, and I thought it said 14. So I'm supposed to start with chapter 12. So thank you. Brother Nagapatni to the rescue. Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you. And that's chapter. That's what I'm supposed to do, the chapter introduction here. Okay, so I'll read the chapter summary, and then we're going to do verses 1 through 23. In his Amrita Prabhava Bhashya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur summarizes his chapter as follows. The king of Orissa, Maharaj Pataparudra, tried his best to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Nityananda Prabhu and other devotees informed the Lord about the king's desire. Whoops, I must have touched the wrong thing there. Okay. About the Lord, king's desire. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not agree to see him. At that time, Sri Nityananda Prabhu devised a plan. He sent a piece of the Lord's outward garment to the king. The next day, when Ramananda Roy again entreated Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to see the king, the Lord, denying the request, asked Ramananda Roy to bring the king's son before him. The prince visited the Lord dressed like a Vaishnava, and this awakened remembrance of Athiyatra took place. He then took his bath at Indradumna Lake and partook of prashanam in the garden nearby. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed the temple of Gundicha, a Gaudiya Vaishnav washed the lotus feet of the Lord and drank the water. This incident is very significant, for it awoke within the devotee ecstatic love. Then the son of Advaita Prabhu named Gopal fainted during kirtan, and when he did not come to his senses, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu favored him by awakening him. There was also some humorous talk between Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu during prashanam. Advaita Prabhu said that Nityananda Prabhu was unknown to anyone and that it was not the duty of a householder, Brahmin, to accept dinner with a person unknown in society. In answer to this humorous statement, Sri Nityananda Prabhu replied that Advaita Acharya was a monist and that one could not know how his mind could be turned by eating with such an impersonalist. The conversation of these two Prabhus, Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu, carried a deep meaning that only an intelligent man can understand. After all the Vaishnavas finished their luncheon, Sarup Damodar and others took their prashanam within the room. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took great pleasure when he saw the Jagannath deity after the period of the deity's retirement. At that time, Lord Chaitanya, was accompanied by all the devotees, and all of them were very pleased. Okay, so that's the chapter summary. And we're going to do verses 1 through 23. And I will confine my remarks to verses 1 through 23 so the other devotees who are following me don't feel like I took all their stuff. Okay, so text 1. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed and cleansed the Gundicha temple with his devotees and associates. In this way, he made it as cool and bright as his own heart, and thus he made the temple a befitting place for Lord Sri Krishna to sit. All glories to Gaura Chandra, all glories to Nityananda, all glories to Advaita Chandra, and all glories to all the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, headed by Srivas Thakur. I beg their power so that I can properly describe Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Me too. I beg their power so I can properly describe these pastimes. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned from his South Indian tour, Maharaj Pratiparudra, the king of Orissa, became very anxious to meet him. The king sent a letter from his capital, Cuttack, to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, entreating him to obtain the Lord's permission so that he could go and see him. So, let's see, Maharaj Pratiparudra, he's requesting permission to go see Lord Chaitanya. They're requesting his permission so that he can go see him. Replying to the king's letter, the Bhattacharya wrote to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not given his permission. After this, the king wrote him another letter. In this letter, the king requested Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, please appeal to all the devotees associated with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and submit this petition to them on my behalf. If all the devotees associated with the Lord are favorably disposed toward me, they can submit my petition at the lotus feet of the Lord. Well, he's right about that. If he gets the favor of the devotees, then he'll get the favor of the Lord. So that's what he's hoping here to be able to do. By the mercy of all the devotees, one can attain the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Yeah, right about that. Without his mercy, my kingdom does not appeal to me. Okay. So Maharaj Pratiparudra has, as you said, he's correctly assessed the situation. He understands he has to receive the mercy of all the devotees, and then he'll be able to attain the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. And he goes on to say that without his mercy, without Lord Chaitanya's mercy, my kingdom does not appeal to me. So let's think about this a little bit. What's going on here? Maharaj Pratiparudra is a great king. He's in a line of kings. His father was a king and a Vaishnav. His father was a king and a Vaishnav. They were powerful. They were famous. He was famous as a great fighter. It was said that the Muslims, they weren't able to enter into that part of India. Maharaj Pratiparudra was such a powerful king that, you know, when the Islamic occupation was there, they weren't actually able to occupy the part of India that he was the king of. He was powerful. Okay. He also had a reputation of being very charitable. He was a great personality. He had like five wives and a couple dozen sons. And yeah, he was a great king. And he's saying here, without Lord Chaitanya's mercy, my kingdom does not appeal to me. So let's, you know, trying to understand this statement. When I was reading it, I came up with some sort of an analogy. Imagine something like this, that somebody's like a, you know, a very wealthy person, like Henry Ford, okay? Say Henry Ford, in the latter part of his life, was thinking, you know, I've got so much money, I've got so much wealth, but what I really want is, you know, a really good education. And if I can't get admitted to Harvard University, then all this wealth means nothing to me. It's kind of like that. You know, it's just to give you an idea, try to get a handle on it. It's like, you know, here's this person. He's got like he's you know, very well situated, but he's considering that this is all nothing if I don't get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So we'll read on. If Gaurī, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, will not show mercy to me, I shall give up my kingdom, become a mendicant, and beg from door to door. See, so that's, he thinks it's so important. When the Bhattacharya received this letter, he became very anxious. He then took the letter and went to the devotees of the Lord. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya met with all the devotees and described the king's wishes. Then he presented the letter to all of them for inspection. Upon reading the letter, everyone was astonished to see that King Pratiparudra had so much devotion for the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. See? So once again, you know, back to our analogy, it's like when all the family members of Henry Ford hear that if he doesn't get accepted into Harvard, then he's going to just give up all his wealth and become a beggar on the street. They're like, what? I mean, that's amazing. I mean, it's that important to him? See, so in the same way, these devotees are struck that this great king, you know, opulent, powerful king, that this means that much to him. It's like, whoa. This is like amazing, you know. Not an everyday occurrence here. So it goes on. The devotees gave their opinion and said, the Lord will never meet the king. And if we requested him to do so, the Lord would surely feel very unhappy. So they're experiencing a dilemma here. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then said, we shall go once again to the Lord. They've already been once, in other words. They've already asked once on his behalf, and Lord Chaitanya refused. He says, but we shall not request him to meet the king. Rather, we shall simply describe the good behavior of the king. So that's their strategy. Having thus reached a decision, they all went to the place of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There, although ready to speak, they could not even utter a word. Sometimes, probably many have experienced that. You have something planned, you know, that you're going to say to somebody. Or sometimes I plan classes. You know, I have a class. I mean, I know I'm going to give a class. I'll plan two, three, four classes sometimes in my mind. But then when I actually sit down to give the class, the things I was planning, I was going to say, just it doesn't feel right to say it. So I don't and wind up saying something totally different. So it's kind of like that. This is the moment of truth. You know, they had this strategy. They had it all planned out. We're going to go before Lord Chaitanya. We're going to, you know, describe the good qualities of Maharaj Prataparudra. And maybe, you know, that's going to influence him. But when they got there, they couldn't do it. You know, that when they felt the Lord Chaitanya's mood. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya says to them, after they arrived at Sri Chaitanya's place, the Lord seeing them said, what have you all come here to say? I see that you want to say something, but you do not speak. What is the reason? Nityananda Prabhu then said, we want to tell you something. Although we cannot stay without speaking, we are still very much afraid to speak. We want to submit before you something that may or may not be befitting. The matter is this. Unless he sees you, the king of Orissa will become a mendicant. Nityananda Prabhu continued, the king has decided to become a mendicant and accept the sign of a mendicant by wearing an ivory earring. He does not want to enjoy his kingdom without seeing the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there's a purport here. Prabhupada says, in India there is still a class of professional mendicants who are very much like the gypsies of Western countries. They know some magical art and mystical processes, and their business is to beg from door to door, sometimes pleading and sometimes threatening. Such mendicants are sometimes called yogis and sometimes kanapata yogis. The word kanapata refers to one who has put a hole in his ear to wear an earring made of ivory. Maharaj Prataparudra was so depressed by not getting to see Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he decided to become such a yogi. Ordinary men think that a yogi must have an ivory earring in his ear, but this is not the sign of a real yogi. Maharaj Prataparudra also thought that to become a mendicant yogi, one must wear such an earring. So basically, you know, once again, he's feeling how his life is worthless. He's feeling, unless I can get the darshan, unless I can actually have this meeting with Lord Chaitanya, my life is worthless. My life is worth nothing. I might as well become, you know, this is like very low level in society. I might as well become one of these mendicant yogis, which like is tantamount to saying, you know, being nobody, nothing. So he's really, you know, feeling very strongly like he has to meet Lord Chaitanya. It goes, Nityananda Prabhu continued, the king also expressed his desire to see the moon-like face of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his eyes' full satisfaction. He would like to raise the lotus feet of the Lord to his heart. Hearing all these statements, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mind was certainly softened. That's important. But externally, he wished to speak some harsh words. That's an important point right there. We'll get back to it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I can understand that you all desire to take me to Cuttack to see the king. Sri Chaitanya, Prabhupada's purport now, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is naturally the reservoir of all kindness. And as soon as he heard the statement made by the king, his heart immediately softened. Thus, the Lord was ready to go see the king, even in Katak. He did not even consider allowing the king to come from Katak to Jagannath Puri to see him. It is significant that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so kind that he was ready to go see the king of Katak. Apparently, it was never expected that the king wanted to see the Lord at his own place, you know, at his place in Katak. But by way of being externally harsh, the Lord indicated that if all the devotees so desired, he would go to Katak to see the king. Okay, so this is interesting here, because here from this statement we're getting the impression that, well, Lord Chaitanya is willing to see the king, you know, but he's already refused. This is the second time he's refusing. So what's going on here? I mean, what's how do we understand this? I mean, on one level, like we're hearing Lord Chaitanya is repeatedly refusing to see the king, but at the same time we're getting statements here that he's, you know, his Sri Chaitanya's mind certainly softened, but externally he wished to speak some harsh words. So what is the reason for that? Would anybody like to venture a guess? What's the reason for why Lord Chaitanya, we got one taker here, for why Lord Chaitanya is externally speaking harsh words, but he wants to see the king? Mother Nagapatni, go for it. Yeah, why is he refusing? It's contradictory here. On the one hand, he's not accepting to see him, really. He's speaking harsh words. If I read on, that's 23. That's my limit. I can't go past that. But if we keep going on, you see, he refuses to see the king. But he wants to see the king. So what's going on here? Why? I think we can mention the answer, though, can't we? I mean, it's much in the chapter summary. Go ahead. Oh, you're giving tomorrow. You don't want to say, huh? All right, well, there's a reason. We'll say that. There is a reason. There is a reason. I don't know if I'll be able to do my class without saying it. But there is a reason why Lord Chaitanya is doing that. And you don't want me to say, huh? All right. He has to show an example. He, you know, one of the roles of Lord Chaitanya was the ideal sannyasi. See? So, you know, he's showing how strict the sannyasi has to be to that point, you know, where I'm a sannyasi. And, you know, there's that verse he quotes from the Bhagavatam about how it's worse than drinking poison for a sannyasi to meet with a woman or somebody who's attached, you know, a man who's attached to women like that. So he's the ideal sannyasi. He has to show the example, right? And that's why he's doing that. But internally, you know, we can understand he really does want to meet. He understands who Maharaj Pratapruja really is, that he's a great devotee, and he really does want to see him. You know, he really does want to see him. Maharaj Pratapruja is, it's mentioned in the Gaura Ganadesha Dipika. I didn't elaborate on too much right there, so that's good enough. In the Gaura Ganadesha Dipika, it's mentioned that Maharaj Pratapruja in a previous life was, did I say that right? Yeah, it was King Indraduna. King Indraduna. And I'm not going to go into the whole story, but King Indraduna is one of the personalities who was very, very instrumental in us having the, you know, the Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra deities, because you know, he wanted to worship the deities, and he commissioned an architect. Was it Vishvakarma? Yeah, he commissioned Vishvakarma to make some deities for him, and Vishvakarma said, okay, on the condition that you just let me do my work and don't disturb me, because if the moment you disturb me, then I'm going to stop. That's it. So, you know, King Indraduna said, sure, fine, no problem. So behind closed doors, Vishvakarma was doing his, you know, sculpting, and it was going on, and you know, King Indraduna was hearing him work, you know, hear chip, 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 and then at one point it stopped, you know, and he didn't hear any noise from behind the door, and that went on for some time, And so finally, he's, what's going on? How come? So maybe something's wrong. Or anyway, he couldn't restrain himself, and he opened the door. And there was Vishvakarma, and he was just sitting there. He was kind of looking, contemplating the deities. And I guess he was just, absorbed in trance, trying to get inspiration for his next chip or whatever. And then when, Marjan Dadumna came in, he said, okay, well, that's it. I mean, we made a deal, right? And he said, yeah, that's it. I'm not going to work on them anymore. But they weren't complete. They were just in a... he hadn't finished his work. So Indradyumna Maharaj, he said, that's okay. I'm going to worship these deities. I'm going to worship these forms as they are. Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. And that's, that's the pay, right? That's why Jagannath Baladev Subhadra looked the way they do. Because Vishvakarma hadn't finished his sculpting work there. But Indradyumna Maharaj was had so much bhav, he had so much devotion that he just decided, that's okay, I'm going to worship him just like this. So that was in the, I think that took place in the first half of Lord Brahma's life. It goes back. It's a very, a really long time. I think I remember reading that. So that's, just to give you some background information on Maharaj Pratapruja. He is a great devotee. I mean, it's not explicitly stated in the Gauranga Desha Deepika that he's a Nitya Siddha, but I think you could safely say he's a Nitya Siddha. He's, one of the eternal associates of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Krishna, like that. So that's a point. Now, another point is, the question is, now what's the deal here? Why is, because we've all heard the statement that Prabhupada, don't try to see God, but try to act in such a way that God sees you, right? Everybody heard that statement? Prabhupada would quote his spiritual master, don't try to see God, but try to act in such a way that God sees you. So it seems like what's important is to act in such a way that God sees you. So why is Maharaj Pratapruja so, making such a big deal out of seeing Lord Chaitanya? Why doesn't he just do some service? Right? Why doesn't he just render some, as Swas is fond of saying, some menial service? Why is he so concerned about seeing Lord Chaitanya? Okay. Well, this is my... Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. So that's again. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with really wanting to see, have the personal association of the Lord or his pure devotee. What that statement is really trying to emphasize, I'll get to you in a second, is that one should have a service attitude. Saying, as one's saying, don't try to see God, but try to act in such a way that God sees you. It's really not trying to say that there's anything wrong with wanting to see God, but what it is trying to do is it's trying to emphasize the point that you should have a service attitude. That's what really counts. That's the really important thing, to have a really good service attitude, because as a result of having that really good service attitude, you will see or experience Krishna. Krishna will reveal himself to you as reciprocation of your service attitude. Not that we just want to... It's really basically trying to condemn the attitude of wanting to see God, or the, like Prakriti Sahaja, not in no service attitude. Archer, do you want to say something at this point? Good.
That statement is directed towards neophyte devotees, obviously.
Right.
Because the world in general, people say, I don't believe in God, show me God. That's the attitude when one is on the lower platform. You would never go to Lord Chaitanya or Radharani and say, oh, stop moaning about seeing Krishna, just do some service. No, you wouldn't do that. They're on the platform where they're constantly... Their heart is constantly attached to Krishna. So seeing, not seeing, it will be like when Madhavendra Puri was advised by Ramchandra Puri to, stop moaning about Mathura and Krishna, just meditate on Brahman. That was an insult to his guru, because his guru is on that platform of constant remembrance of Krishna. So to tell an advanced devotee, don't try to see Krishna, just do some service, that would be an insult. So that statement is obviously directed towards neophyte devotees.
Right.
Those who are not sure yet, or, you know, they don't deserve because they haven't done anything. The pure devotees, they're constantly serving Krishna. Because the service of Krishna is not just external menial service. It's constant remembrance of Krishna. That's also service. Smaranam. Right. So they're on that platform. They're smaranam. They're always remembering Krishna. So they're always serving Krishna. So to tell them to stop trying to see Krishna and just, you know, serve Krishna would be an insult.
Yeah, so this was not some make-show thing on the part of King Prataparudra. He was feeling it. You know, I mean, he wasn't desiring to see Lord Chaitanya, you know, to put some motivation for, you know, prestige or something like that, that everybody will think I'm a great devotee. Nothing like that. He was genuinely, really strongly desiring to have the association, the darshan of Lord Chaitanya. And so, you know, it's completely bona fide. Some further support of that is that there's this one really nice pastime where Lord Chaitanya is in the Jagannath temple, and he's standing by the Garuda Stamba. Sroop Damodar is with him. And this lady was there in the temple, and I think she got up on the Garuda Stamba first. I'm not sure if she got up on, she climbed up Lord Chaitanya and then on the Garuda Stamba, or if on the Garuda Stamba and then Lord Chaitanya. I think it was the Garuda Stamba, and then she got up on that, and then she was had her hands on Lord Chaitanya's shoulders so she could see the deities, you know. And so Sroop Damodar was there, and Sroop Damodar saw that, and he went, get out, you know, what are you doing? Get out. And Lord Chaitanya, you know, he was just taking darshan of the deities. But then when that happened, of course, he, what's going on here, you know? And he was, what, you know? And he, so Sroop Damodar, when Lord Chaitanya reacted, he was probably thinking, okay, now he's going to chastise this lady. Because, you know, she committed a double offense. She was standing on Lord Chaitanya, or you know, climbing up Lord Chaitanya and standing on the Garuda Stamba. So two offenses, right? So, you know, he's probably thinking, she's going to get it now. Lord Chaitanya's going to really, you know. But no, Lord Chaitanya chastised Sroop Damodar. Lord Chaitanya said, oh, Adi Vasa. You know, oh, Adi Vasi means original. Actually, it's the way it's translated is, oh, uncultured one. The literal translation is original inhabitant. Adi means first, and Vasi means resident. And it's a phrase used to refer to the aboriginals, like the Bhattataris and the Adivasis and the other aboriginal tribes. And they're outside the Vedic culture. You know, they're not within the Vanashram Dharma. They're lower than Sudras. So, you know, uncultured. That's what Lord Chaitanya meant. Oh, uncultured man. You know, why are you doing this? You know, let this lady... you know, see Jagannath to a full satisfaction, you know. And Lord Chaitanya goes on and says, I wish I had that much eagerness to see. So in other words, he, you know, obviously Lord Chaitanya didn't think there was anything wrong with somebody wanting to see the Lord, because here's this lady, she was committed a double offense, but you know, he admired that quality in her, that she had so much eagerness to see the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya himself wanted to see the Lord. You know, when Lord Chaitanya went to Jagannath Puri, the first thing he did, he went to the, you know, to the Jagannath temple, and you know, when he saw the Jagannath deities, of course he went unconscious like that. So no problem there, you know. But it's So anyway, so Maharaj Prataparudra is completely justified in this desire, and he had a great service attitude. I think even before this, he had a golden broom, and he'd sweep the, you know, before the Rath Yatra, he was always, you know, he was doing that even before Lord Chaitanya, you know, his association with Lord Chaitanya, that was a regular thing he would do every year, of sweeping in front of the procession. Yeah. I haven't noticed, but yeah, I mean, the significance was, here's the highest personality, yeah. You know, Maharaj Prataparudra, and he's doing that menial service, you know, and so that, you know, it's nice like that. Let's see what other points I want to make here. Well, here's one point that, you know, you have to remember when we're hearing these pastimes, we're hearing descriptions of personalities that are there, liberated. You know, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the sixth chapter, there's that verse, chapters, text 19 through 22, and part of the verse is, how's it go? Sukham ajantikam yattad buddhigrayam atindriyam. That it's talking about how, you know, somebody who, when they get on the transcendental platform, it says, in that joyous state, one experiences boundless transcendental happiness through transcendental senses. See? So all these personalities in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya's associates, Maharaj Pratapuja, they're in that category. You know, they're in that category, and we're hearing about it. And we're giving, actually, we're being given the opportunity to enter into that. That's what the Krishna consciousness movement is. It's like an invitation. Okay, you know, this is transcendental life. You're hearing about transcendental life. And if you take up the process, we can enter into it. You could experience it. We can experience it ourselves. So, good to remember that. We can't, at the same time, we have to remember we can't imitate. We have to follow in the footsteps, you know, but not imitate. Like, for instance, Lord Chaitanya, I mean, Maharaj Pratapuja, he was kind of almost demanding. Well, not quite demanding, but, you know, repeatedly requesting, I've got to see Lord Chaitanya, which was appropriate for him, you know, it was appropriate for him. But in our case, like if we were to be insisting, I have to see Srila Prabhupada, or I have to see Radhanath Maharaj, or I have to see, you know, that might not be, it might not be it quite so appropriate. In other words, there is, you know, in our situation, a point at which we should just be prepared to do the menial service and not demand the association or the darshan of the elevated spiritual personalities. In other words, there's a difference between imitating, you know, if without the qualification we're demanding the association of like our spiritual master or etc., then that's imitating. But, you know, and following in the footsteps is when you understand the underlying principle, which is to have that service attitude. See, so, you know, we should be more interested in following in the footsteps. I mean, it's having that service attitude of being ready and willing to do anything and everything to serve, you know, the Lord and his representative, and not be concerned necessarily with whether we're having the direct personal association. I mean, you know, if you have that, if you're really feeling it, honestly and genuinely, like Maharaj Pratapuja, okay. But if you're not, then just, you know, do the service and, you know, follow that other instruction. Don't try to see God, but behave in such a way that God sees you. You know, it's attract the attention of the spiritual master and the Lord by your service attitude. So that's an important point here, you know, from this past time. And just following on from that is that, you know, it's good if we could be a Prahlad, right? Prahlad Maharaj, very elevated devotee. But if you can't be a Prahlad, at least be a Dhruva. You know, Dhruva Maharaj was also a great devotee. Dhruva Maharaj wasn't, at least initially, on the level of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj was a Mahabhagavat right from the get-go. You know, he was liberated even within the womb of his mother there. But Dhruva Maharaj was, you know, started off as kind of a gross materialist there. He approached the Lord for fulfillment of material desire, but he became a great devotee. You know, he became a pure devotee. So the idea is that, you know, nice if we could be a Prahlad, but if we can't be a Prahlad, be a Dhruva. You know, somehow or another, Rupa Goswami would say, Yena Tena Prakarena Mana Krishna Navasayad, that somehow or another, be engaged in devotional service. Because the result will be, if we just are determined to be engaged in devotional service and stick to the process, we will definitely come out the other end as pure devotees. That's by Krishna's mercy. In one lecture, Prabhupada was describing, more than one lecture, but one I can remember, Prabhupada describes how Krishna is like the sun. You know, the sun has this quality. It's prophylactic and antiseptic. Prabhupada uses those two words in Isopanishad. Prophylactic means that it doesn't become contaminated. And antiseptic means that anything that comes in contact with it becomes purified. So Krishna has those qualities. It's just like the sun. You know, and Prabhupada would give the example, if they say this, like a big pool of very dirty substances, stool, urine, etc., like that, in the Mojave Desert, okay, on a 140-degree day, and the sun is shining down. Okay, that whole big filthy ditch, sewerage ditch, if it just is exposed to the sun, because the sun's so powerful, it evaporates all the water from it, and it just sterilizes the whole thing. You see? And the sun doesn't become contaminated by doing that, but that whole situation becomes purified. So in the same way, if somebody somehow or another, some way or another, engages in devotional service, becomes attached to this process of Krishna consciousness, they will become purified. As I said, you'll come out the other end a pure devotee. And so that's what we have to do. That's Krishna's mercy, somehow or another. You know, yena tena prakarena mana Krishna na vasaya. Okay, so I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments?
So I was told, thank you, Rupa Party, for a nice class. I was told that until someone gets like initiated, that whatever they're doing is like not has like no merit, or they're not, or something like that. Someone was telling me, and I wanted to know like what was your opinion, or is that true, or?
No, I think that's blatantly false. Let me repeat your question, make sure I heard it properly. You were told that until you're initiated, what you do has no merit?
Yeah, well, like, you don't actually make progress
you're initiated. No, I don't think that's correct. In the first Back to Godhead magazine I read, which Judhakarma and Prabhu read the same one, I got it in Port Authority bus station when I was rained out of a camping trip. And the only thing I remember in that whole magazine was it was one of these... You know, sometimes they reprint conversations between Prabhupada and devotees. So the only thing I remember in that whole magazine was these devotees said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, when can we be initiated? And Prabhupada said to them, you are already initiated. As soon as one becomes serious to follow my instructions, that is initiation. Now, I'm not saying, by saying that, I'm not trying to say that there's no need for a formal diksha, etc., etc., but you know, what I am trying to say is that that is significant. When you make that decision, when the jiva makes a decision to take shelter of the instructions, the knowledge that he's receiving from a pure devotee, you know, representative of the Lord, and makes a decision to put that into practice in his life, that's significant. You're making progress. From that moment onwards, you're making spiritual advancement, you know. So you're definitely making advancement. Even before you're formally initiated, if you're taking shelter of what taking seriously Prabhupada's teachings, you're making advancement at every moment. That makes correct? Is that correct? Yep. Any other questions or comments? Radha Krishna?
Hare Prabhu. A governor and a king are in the same position, more or less, right?
So king's higher.
Yeah, why double a standard? Like Lord Chaitanya went out of his way to see Rupa Sanatana and also took the advice of, who is it, Sarvabhauma to see Ramananda Roy, right? But King Pratarudra, whenever that he would come to Jagannath Puri, Kashi Mishra was his guru. He would massage his feet and would inquire about Jagannath, right? So he knew that, you know, it's like he's a devotee. Why this double standard? And then the other side is that, like, I don't know any sannyasis that follow that example. You know, if Obama wants to see one of our sannyasis, he wouldn't say that, oh, I'm following Lord Chaitanya example, I'm not going to see, right? So what about Sankirtan movement? You know, it's like how to explain that.
Yeah, good point. Okay, well, I'll take a shot at it. Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, they'd already renounced, though, right? When by the time Lord Chaitanya was meeting with them, they'd already left their positions as, ministers. No? Where?
So they had written letters to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to visit them and liberate
where?
Them from wherever that they were, like ministers, right?
In prior Varanasi?
No, not before Varanasi, right?
Okay, we'll have to further research that. Okay, we'll have to kind of research that. But getting on now, Ramananda Roy. Well, he was asked by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So maybe that's one thing that comes to my mind. He was specifically requested by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to meet Ramananda Roy, and because he was such a, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told him what a great devotee he was, and also it wasn't as public. Maybe that's another consideration, that, here's Lord Chaitanya, this is the king now, and it's really public, so, maybe he thought it would be a really bad example to be so publicly meeting with the king. And then in relation to the last question, why are our sannyasis meeting? They'd be delighted to meet kings and presidents and so forth and so on. It seems like after Lord Chaitanya, maybe I wouldn't say that his predecessors broke with tradition, but there's a higher principle involved. Like, for instance, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, what to speak of not wanting to see kings or presidents. He made the statement that if we could get these respectable people to come to the temple, we'll cook meat and serve them meat. He was so concerned to spread the Krishna consciousness movement, he felt that that was the highest principle. There's a hierarchy of principles, in other words. And at least for our immediate acharyas, that on the top of that hierarchy is the principle of spread the Krishna consciousness movement. And the principle of not meeting with a materialistic or a worldly man is there, but it's not as important as spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. So that's why our sannyasis, Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada, and us, all of our sannyasis are, might be aware of that, but they would think it's much more important that we meet them and try to preach than that we avoid their association when there's possible some advantage that in meeting them that we could have for the Krishna consciousness movement. That makes sense? Okay, so I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Gantaraj Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you.
healing way.